And we are back right here on the Number One Rated Business Show. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. Once again, always dedicated to bringing y'all some of the top people in business, in politics, just great people around the state of Georgia, period. Today, we're talking about hospitality. We're talking about the whole hospitality industry, from restaurants to hotels. But specifically, we're talking about Black women of hospitality. Today, joining me in studio, she is the vice president of the Black Women of Hospitality, an organization that is designed to empower all women of color in the hospitality industry, Miss Stacia Harvey Randall.
Hello. Thank you so much, KC, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Are you related to Steve Harvey? That's my first question.
I tell everybody I'm his niece. But I am not. We have the same last name, though.
That's all right. That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So you are the vice president and co-founder of the Black Women of Hospitality.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, give me a little background about the hospitality industry before we get into, you know, the purpose of the organization, because I think it's one of those type of things where, you know, people often overlook a lot of people that work in this industry. And there's a huge industry in the United States. I mean, most of the United States is based off services and this type of stuff, restaurants, and we all understand how important is to have the right people in these positions. Because you go to a restaurant, get mistreated, you're leaving. You go to a hotel, you get mistreated, you're complaining, you're not coming back. So just tell us a little bit about the hospitality industry and the state of it. Because I know the hospitality industry is a hard word for me to say. I'm from Alabama, but it's all right. But no, I know that industry has taken a big hit since COVID. You know, a lot of people weren't going out to eat. A lot of people were not staying in hotels and vacationing like they used to. And now, you know, everybody's ready to get back out there. Everybody wants to go travel. Everybody's eating out and all these other type of things. So tell us about the state of the industry as it stands today.
Well, I find that it's returning rapidly. You know, since COVID, you know, individuals haven't been having the opportunity to travel. So whenever the world opened back up, everyone was ready to go somewhere. They had been, you know, sitting inside, doing things virtual, and they really missed that face-to-face contact. Industry. We all had to go and find jobs that were outside of the industry, and it was really difficult for us. A lot of the jobs were remote or packaging, more jobs behind the scenes, and we weren't able to serve like we wanted to. So once the world started opening back up, jobs started opening back up, hotel rooms started filling back up again, you were able to fly. We were so excited. Okay. But in that industry, you have to have a passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's more than just customer service. It's having the drive and the will to want to exceed the customer's expectation. So now we have people that have left the industry. They're slowly returning, but we're also gaining new individuals that want to come into the industry, which is very exciting as well.
Okay. Now, so many employers now are complaining about finding people that can actually work or finding people that want to work. Is that a big thing that you're seeing in this industry right now? Or do you see that people don't have a problem filling the roles? They want to be out here doing this work.
When we first returned back to the industry, it was hard because individuals had to become creative in earning income.
Okay.
So we had a lot of individuals that saw that there were resources out there for them to become entrepreneurs and work for themselves. So they didn't want to come back to the industry and work a scheduled shift or work holidays when they can have the freedom to work for themselves. So it was difficult because people were working remote. They were taking hybrid roles. And when you're in hospitality, that doesn't offer that many options. You have to really come into the office or come into the job because it requires you to be there to have that face-to-face interaction. But now I'm seeing individuals are looking to get multiple streams of income.
Oh, yeah.
So they want to come into work and they still want to be an entrepreneur on the side because they still need something that's giving them a steady flow.
Okay. Now we're starting to see a big shift in the hospitality industry here in the United States, because as you know, a lot of these jobs, restaurants, you know, hotels and this type of stuff, I frequent a lot of hotels, and more we're starting to see Latino faces filling a lot of these roles. A lot of the restaurants that you go to now, you're starting to see a lot of Latinos in this role. And I know that this is the Black women of hospitality. So how is that affecting Black women?
As far as returning to the industry?
As far as just being able to find jobs, that open positions and this type of thing, are Black women starting to climb the ladder and starting to get higher roles in these different businesses? Or is it they're not being able to find jobs? How is that affecting Black women?
The jobs are available, but many a times they're with companies that are not presenting opportunities to them or not giving them a development plan if they're not ready.
Okay.
So this is what our organization will do. It will assist, because you may be with an employer that is not giving you that real-time feedback,
okay,
whether it's your lack of education, whether it's lack of how you present yourself and establishing yourself as a leader. And those conversations sometimes don't happen. But when you have a network of women that can come in and see they are women in the organization that are in positions that you desire to be in, you can create your mentorship programs and okay, all of those things to help the woman get over that hurdle.
Okay. Now, what does that ladder look like in the hospitality industry? Like, what does it look like in a hotel to start climbing that corporate ladder, or even in the restaurant industry, when it seems like, you know, there's a definitely a ceiling there at some point?
So typically with your hotel industry, you have several different departments. So like me, I started as a front desk agent.
Okay.
So I worked my way up to a front desk agent, front desk supervisor, assistant front office manager, and then you move up into your director roles and then executive director roles.
Okay.
Then, of course, in the restaurant, you'll start off as a server or a bartender. Then you become a lead, and then you'll make that shift into a manager. If it's McDonald's or Burger King, you will go into a store manager and then a franchise owner. So it's a ladder for every different industry.
Wow. So when we start talking about hospitality, because I think a lot of times when we talk about this type of stuff, people think about the drive-through person, they're thinking about the maid, and this type of thing. So we really talking about, you know, decent, good wage earning job.
Absolutely. And I think when, you know, I tell someone I work in a hotel, the first thing they say is, would you check people in?
Wow.
And I'm like, it's a business. Like,
oh, yeah,
you can be a general manager. You know, you can be an assistant general manager. You don't necessarily have to just check people in and that's in. We it's a business. We run an operation. We have finance. We have sales. We have marketing. We have events. We have front of the house operations. We have back of the house operations. It's so many different ladders. And I think because it's not communicated, people don't know. They just look at it as you're either a front desk agent or you clean rooms.
Wow. Now, when it comes to the entire industry and this type of stuff, tell me, what was, when y'all started this in the beginning, what were some of the major problems that you guys wanted to solve?
We wanted to know where, well, first of all, we just started in April.
Okay, wow.
April of this year.
Okay.
And I met my founder at a vision board party and realized that we both had over 20 years of experience in hospitality.
Okay.
And we discussed, you know, where are the women that are in executive level positions or GMs. We say we don't have that, and we don't have a network of that, and we don't know why our women are leaving the industry. So we wanted to put an organization together to find out where they are. And there's so many talented women in the industry, but they're not showcasing themselves.
Okay.
And I think it's because there's nothing for them to participate in.
Okay.
To showcase their talent. I mean, very talented women that are just going to work, working for corporate companies, but they're not having any opportunity to show how great they are.
Okay.
And we want to be that organization that helps you showcase that, because you need to be celebrated.
Wow. Now, how do you go about doing that?
So in this organization, you will be able to come in as a member, whether you want to be a mentor.
Okay.
Whether you just want to give back and participate in community service, whether you just want to come in and listen in and help others, help elevate others, there will be something in that organization. Or even if you want to attract new leaders, like our students that are in high school, not everybody's going to college.
That's true.
So when you become a senior in high school, we may have a woman in this network that wants to go speak to that high school and say, I know you don't know what you want to do right now, Well, why don't you start with hospitality? Because you can build a really good career in this industry, or even going to universities and speaking to the hospitality students so they can start building their resume while they are in college. Okay. So we have an opportunity for every single woman in hospitality to be able to show their support and showcase their skill set.
Wow. Now, back, I'd say probably about 5 years ago, diversity and inclusion became the buzzwords of America. And you start to see all these roles being created. You start to see, you know, all these black people, for the main part, starting to fill these roles. A lot of businesses were, you know, really, really preaching being more diverse and this type of thing. But now we're starting to see the other side of that. You know, a lot of these people are getting removed from these positions. A lot of people are starting to think that, hey, we don't need diversity and inclusion no more. We just want to hire who we want. You're starting to see that affirmative action just got overturned by the Supreme Court. How is all this affecting the industry in general? How is it affecting black women?
This is the thing. You can hire a director or a VP of diversity and inclusion all you want.
Okay.
You can show a PowerPoint presentation and show how this role is important, but you need to see action.
Okay.
So, like I told my founder, we're not waiting for something to be implemented. Like, if you want to be a game changer, you have to be a creator.
Right.
You have to show what you're trying to do, and it has to be intentional.
Okay.
So this organization, even if they do away with affirmative action, the diversity, you could still lean to us as a nonprofit organization to get the awareness out.
Okay. Now, what does it look like to be a member of this organization? What once I sign up or I say, hey, I want to be a part of this organization, what do I start to receive?
So you will start to receive invites to attend our once a month, what we call Black Women in Hospitality Power Hour.
Okay.
In this call, we typically feature a speaker. This month, on July the 27th, we are featuring Miss Devon Reeves, who is definitely a game changer in the industry. She is in her 30s, wow, graduate from Georgia State.
Okay.
Recognized as one of the women that's successful under 40, has her own crowdfunding platform, teaching others how to invest or become hotel owners. And she has 3 hotels.
Wow.
I discovered her before COVID. And then I started following her during COVID. I even reached out to her and was like, do you have a job opportunity for me? Because I was furloughed. But I looked at her, was like, wow, this woman had a dream and she went after it and she looks like me, you know, and it was just very exciting. So she didn't have any jobs at the time. You know, she's like, I'm strategically getting my business off the ground. But now look at her now. She's going to be on our platform. So as a member, you will be able to connect with women like her on the calls. We also have training calls where we will open it up and ask, what training topic are you looking for? Because you may not be receiving that training topic at work.
Okay.
Also connect you with someone that if you are event planner and you know, you just want to know about event planning and how you could be better in your job. We have women in the group that are event planners, senior event planners, directors of event planners that can help you. If you're looking for a mentor, or if you want to be so active that you're like, if there's an officer position, I want to come in because I want to give back to the organization. And then once we start planning our conference and things like that, you will be a part of all of those deals where you will be able to get the discount to attend the conferences or anything. We're looking at so many things for 2024. It's going to be unbelievable. That's why I say this is just not an organization. This is a movement.
Wow.
We are looking to expand in all of the United States where we have a chapter in every state.
Now, I definitely hear your passion coming through loud and clear as far as for what you do. But tell me a little bit about your story. How did you actually end up in the hospitality industry? And what did you go through that made you so passionate about these type of issues?
So someone asked me in my last interview, did hospitality find me or did I find hospitality? And it actually found me.
Okay.
I was supposed to be a secondary education English teacher.
Okay.
With a minor in journalism.
Wow.
And when I started working, the first thing I needed, well, when I started college, the first thing I was like, I want to move off campus. I need to earn an income. And one of my old roommates was like, you need to come work for a hotel. And I was like, okay. And I just applied. And I was hired as a front desk agent. I'll never forget my first Essence Music Festival in New Orleans, 1,100 guests checking in. That was my experience right there.
Wow.
And I was very overwhelmed, but I enjoyed what I was doing. Okay. So, you know, I was going to work every day. I became less interested in wanting to be a teacher and more interested in what the hospitality industry offered to me, because I went to work enjoying making people happy.
Okay.
You know, if I serviced them behind the front desk and they left that desk not feeling good about my service, that bothered me.
Wow.
You know, I was getting 10 comment cards a week. So that was my goal. I wanted always to over exceed the expectation of my guest.
Okay.
And when I started moving up in the industry, that's when I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a teacher anymore. You know, I'm getting ready to graduate and I'm already an assistant front office manager.
Wow.
So I feel like I'm a working resume and I feel like I'm ready to take my next step, which was human resources.
Okay.
That was the first barrier. I didn't have my degree.
Mm.
So my general manager told me, I understand your passion. I understand you want to go to human resources, but you don't have a college education. And I'm like, well, I'm only like 6 classes away. He was like, you don't have a college education. And no one without a degree will be going into HR.
Wow, okay.
At this property.
Mm.
And I cried. I cried about that. But then I had to realize, if this is the expectation and if this is the requirement, this is not on him. This is on me.
Okay.
So you need to you need to do whatever you need to do to double up on your classes, go to night school, go to summer school, do whatever you need to do, but you need to get out, because do not let education be the barrier.
That's true. Especially 6 classes.
Yeah. That holds you back.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing.
Okay.
So when I finished school, it was still hard to get in, because I had been in operations for almost 6 years. So every time I went to apply for HR, someone was saying, you know what? I appreciate you applying for HR, but we really have an opportunity for you at the front desk. And I'm saying to myself, why do they keep wanting to put me at the front desk when I'm telling them I'm trying to exit operations?
Okay.
So it was like I was constantly getting pulled back, and I had to take positions that I didn't want to get where I needed to be.
Okay.
To find the leader that believed in me, wanted to open the door and give me an opportunity. So that was another barrier. You know, when you sit somewhere for a long time, and they see that you're good at it, they want to keep you there and they don't want to let you go.
Of course.
So, you know, I felt
it's
like
hard to
I
find
was
good folks at the front desk, though.
It is.
I done dealt with some folks that's like, ugh, I'm finna go.
So when they saw me and they like, oh, she's smiling. You know, she's passionate about why. I mean, they were even talking me against HR. Why HR? I mean, that's nothing but an administrative role. No, it isn't. It's about identifying the right people to work for your organization and developing them and advancing them. I was looking at it in a whole nother light. Okay. They were looking at it as I wanted to be someone that sits behind a desk and just, you know, do data entry.
Okay.
I was looking at it as elevation.
Okay.
So when I finally got that door, that door open, I was so excited. And I moved up in HR, but then I worked for some very seasoned leaders and I became comfortable and complacent.
Okay.
I was an assistant director for 6 years.
Wow.
And both of my directors told me, you are ready. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't. And that's the other barrier, fear.
Okay.
I became comfortable. I was looking at them, their style, their knowledge, how successful they were. And I started creating barriers to myself, saying, I don't want this responsibility. It's going to fall on me. They became my security blanket.
If you want to grow, you're going to have to be uncomfortable now.
There it is. And that's what one of my leaders told me. If it's not making you uncomfortable, you are not growing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You want to come in and do the same thing that you know, but you don't want to be shown anything that you don't know. you know, and I had to get over that fear. It took a meeting in a it took a meeting that I attended for one of my GMs to say, why are we always saying that we're not ready for something?
That's true.
Do you know people that make it? They may not be ready for it, but they learn it when they get there. They'll never tell someone that they're not ready.
It's about having faith in yourself.
It's about having faith. And after that meeting, that faith came, that light bulb clicked on, and I said, I'm going for it. And I landed my first HR director opportunity. And when I got in that role, I said, now what else are you going to do? You sat in this role for 6 years.
Okay.
What is your next goal? And my goal was to give back.
All right. You ain't going to own your own hotel?
I never really thought about it, but who knows in the future?
Let me know. We can partner on that one. I do is real estate. Now, tell me about some of the other things that you've kind of dealt with in your career. Because I, Lord knows, I've seen people act some fools at their front counter. What is that like on your end? Because it's like we look at it from the public standpoint. And I just don't treat people bad. I try my best not to, but it's like we look at it on one side and people try to look down on you, or they talk down to you and this type of stuff, or they think, you know what I'm saying, you're supposed to get them some superstar treatment because they paid for their room like everybody else here. So how do you deal with that?
Well, you have to coach. I mean, I try. Let me be honest. When you interview someone, you're never really going to know how they really are, because some people really interview well.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trial period. We all taking a risk when we hire someone. But when you start to see feedback in guest comments, that's okay. What we use all the time as a benchmark to see where people are with their performance. Mm-hmm. If you start seeing a pattern of someone's name showing up in a comment about being rude,
okay,
about not being welcoming, you have to have those conversations.
That'll show your business. Like,
yeah. And when you don't have the right leaders in place that do not have managerial courage to pull that associate to the side and say, what is this? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes people have, I don't say a bad day, a bad minute.
Okay.
Okay. But when you have that, where I work, we have resources to assist you with that.
Wow. Okay.
We have a calm room. If you come in and it's been a day, you go to the calm room.
Really?
Massage chairs, bottle water.
Wow.
Soothing music.
Y'all treat your employees good.
Magazines, books.
Okay.
And you calm yourself down. Read some affirmations that we have on the wall. I changed my department name from HR to the Heart Center.
All right.
Where I work, we have a culture of love. So I felt it was only right to transition that name, because when you think of human resources, people think they're going to the principal's office.
I remember back when I used to work in corporate a long time ago, probably about 15 years ago. It's just like when you went to the HR, it's like, okay, I got to go ahead and talk about my insurance benefits. They're going to take money out of my check. Or either I got wrote off or something.
Yeah. And back then it was called personnel.
Yeah, it was.
The personnel office. You know, so when you come to the Heart Center, we are there to service you.
Okay.
So this is where you come when you're broken, you know, when you're having that bad day. So it's no excuse to go out there and under-deliver to our guest. Mm. You know, it's no reason for that, because we have things in place for that, for you to have your meltdowns. We work with EAP that helps. It's a line that they call if they want to get grief counseling.
Okay.
Life balance counseling. Any of those things that are affecting them.
Wow.
Marital counseling.
I put a lot into your employees.
Yeah, we do. And I make sure that those resources are available. Because sometimes we have some one-offs where we're like, that's not that person. Something's going on. It's time to do a check-in. That's where the empathy comes in. The care comes in. But if you start seeing a pattern of someone just constantly being rude, maybe that's just who the person is. And maybe hospitality is not for them. And that difficult decision has to be made.
Okay. Now, do y'all look at expanding to, you know, other areas such as like Uber and stuff like this? I was in an Uber ride, matter of fact, just yesterday morning, and I was talking to the guy, and he said he'd been driving Uber for like I think he said for about 6 years or so. And then he was telling me, I was asking about, you know, some of the new stuff that they're doing, like the packages and the deliveries and stuff. And he was saying stuff like, a lot of times on those deliveries, these people only making like $2. It's like they have to go, they have to travel to go pick the thing up. Once they actually go pick it up, they might sit at the restaurant for 30 minutes waiting on your order. And then all they get when they come back is just that little tip. And, you know, I always try to put the lowest tip on them. So do you look at expanding to industries like that to try to help, you know, women in those situations as well?
That is very much open. But At first, I want to make sure we're building a strong foundation before we expand to other industries in customer service.
Okay. No, that's
because we want a proven strong record.
Okay.
You know, we want. This is where me and my founder's background comes from. So it has to be strong in order for others to come on board.
Now, flipping over to some of the other stuff, you said hospitality, you said it covers the hotels, the restaurants. And you said it was one more?
Airlines.
Okay.
Yes. They go through so much. Flight attendants go through so much.
Oh, yeah.
Customer service agents go through so much. Baggage claim, they go through so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen an organization yet for them.
No, I hadn't either. and I didn't see some of them take it. And then it's like, once you get up in there, it ain't much you can do with this person except tolerate them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, I got to be honest. The flight attendants has been some of the most nice experience I've ever had. Most of them have been super nice. I have never ran into, matter of fact, I don't think I ever ran into one of them that was just nasty. I didn't run into some of the folks at the gate was nasty.
Right. But yes. But when they get on the plane, it's different because they're very passionate and they love what they do.
Now, these events that you said you got coming up in this type of thing, what are some things that these women should expect from these events? What should they expect to gain from them?
Knowledge.
Okay.
Knowledge and just having the exposure to connect. Like, people connect all the time on social media sites, especially like LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
But you really never know a person until you actually meet with them face to face and connect with them. And once you have established that connection, it's different.
It's true.
You know, and I think that we need to have events so people can see that face to face. They can feel that energy. They can understand your knowledge. I mean, our last event that we just had was last weekend. It was a hospitality mixer at the Starling. And the vibe was great.
Oh, yeah. It is something. It is definitely something valuable or something to be said for, you know, being around like-minded individuals, being around other people that's in your roles and in your situations and stuff like that. Because the simple fact of, number one, you never know what this other person might be able to share with you. You never know, you know, just being friends with this person, what opportunities might come from that. I run a mastermind group where we you know, teach business and we teach a lot of business owners how to be more successful in this type of stuff. But what I find a lot of times, it might be, you know, 15, 20 people on the call. But a lot of times, just listening to what they're saying, them talking back and forth and connecting with each other, they're making money. So just having those connections and being connected to one another like that is an invaluable thing. So when you're running for politics, because I hear it in your voice.
Oh, no. Not interested in
you
that.
You're going to be the advocate. You're going to be the advocate not for the hospitality industry. But no, I definitely see big things in y'all's futures, even advocating for more rights and this type of stuff for a lot of people in these situations. Because I've heard all kinds of stories as far as, you know, pay, long work hours, the shifts that they have to work. And a lot of the people on some of the lower levels is actually doing the hard work, like cleaning the rooms and this type of stuff. They get it the worst. And you're talking about 8 hours of running up and down elevators, running up and down stairs, room to room. You know, that's difficult stuff.
It is. That's why we always say hospitality is not a career. It's a calling.
Okay.
You have to want to be in the industry.
Okay. I try to be hospitable. I wouldn't call for that, but I mean, I try to always be nice to folks and treat people as best as I possibly can. Now, if anybody wants to join this organization or if they want to get in contact with you guys and find out more, how can they possibly do that?
So we are on TikTok.
Okay.
We are on Instagram at Black Women of Hospitality. We're also on Facebook, Black Women of Hospitality, and on LinkedIn. And then you can also check out our website, which has all of our upcoming events.
Okay.
And that is www.blackwomenofhospitality.com.
Wow. Now, as far as like the social media and this type of stuff, they just need to DM you or and just kind of reach out and say they're interested?
Absolutely. They DM, they follow us, they join. And then typically we go in and we see that we have a new member and we welcome them into the group and ask them to send us a profile picture and introduce themselves to the group.
Wow. Now, about how big is the group now?
Right now, we have about 100 members.
Wow. How fast is it growing?
In 4 months.
It's growing pretty fast.
It's growing pretty fast.
All right. Now, what does joining actually look like? Do I need to fill out an application? Do I need to donate? Like, what does the actual joining process look like?
So actually what you'll do is you'll join the organization via Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, or the website.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll send you your welcome letter. How much the dues are monthly.
Okay.
You'll start getting the invites to the calls. Because right now the calls have been pretty much open, but now we're about to close it because we want it to be a private organization where you're accepted by invite. We don't want it just open because we have so many people that just want to join, but they really don't want to contribute.
Okay.
They just want to watch, you know, what's going on. And we really need active members to really make this movement move.
No, and I like the fact that you guys are doing, you know, having women pay dues or having the members pay dues and this type of stuff. People don't value what they don't pay for.
Right.
So when it's free and this type of stuff, they don't show up for meetings. They don't show up for, you know, events and stuff like that. So that is excellent. Anything else that you want to tell us about this organization or anything else that we need to know?
Well, we are planning our 2024 Black Women of Hospitality Conference.
Okay.
In that conference, it will, of course, be a mixer where you will meet people all from all over the world that are in the hospitality industry. We want to have some panel discussions as well with, you know, top leaders in the industry discussing their success stories.
Okay.
And we also want to have a career fair where if you are in the industry looking for another opportunity or wanting to come into the industry, we'll have different hotels there for you to apply for work.
Right.
And then we want to close it out with a nice gala where we hopefully be able to bless someone with returning to school or right. obtaining any type of certification to continue their education or complete their education in hospitality.
Wow. All right. Might need to partner on some stuff.
Yeah.
I do women's empowerment too.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. We got a women empowerment event coming up October 7th with Black China. Sunshine Anderson's going to be performing. We've got a military veteran, single mom, Jess Love. She's going to be speaking, Kiana Dancy, and Lisa Nicole Cloud. So it's going to be a great day for women. We're going to be over at the Woodruff Arts Center from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. I got a lot of great stuff planned for them. So.
Oh, great. Let
so
me
definitely
know.
I'll give you more information
Absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's come to that time. It has been a day. I'm trying to tell you. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning running. I'm tired. But no, I definitely appreciate you coming out. And I definitely appreciate you sharing all about the Black Women Hospitality organization. I think this is gonna be something wonderful for all women that's working in that industry. Just to be able to learn more, network, be mentored, you know, learn how to move up that ladder and learn a lot of key secrets. Cause a lot of people don't understand. There's one thing to go to school for stuff. It's a whole nother thing to have the actual experience to know how it really goes down.
Yes,
so
yes.
Just to be able to get those nuggets and that type of stuff from y'all. I think this is a wonderful thing, and I'm definitely 100% behind you.
Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to all of the watchers, and also thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be on your platform to raise awareness. I really appreciate the
problem.
Support.
My mama a Black woman. One more time before we get out of here. If people want to reach you and they want to join, they want to sign up, how can they do that?
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Black Women Hospitality. And also, you can follow us on Facebook, Black Women of Hospitality, LinkedIn. If you want to reach out to me directly, Stacia Harvey Randall on LinkedIn. And also look at our website, which is www.blackwomenofhospitality.com.
All right. Well, once again, it has been another episode of Number One. I told y'all I don't bring number the best folks on here. But once again, it's been another episode of Number One Rated Business Show. Thank y'all, everybody, for staying tuned in with us. And you can go and hit that music. I will be back very, very soon. I know we've been a little up and down here lately, but I will be back very soon. We'll be going back to 95. I mean, not 95, but where was we at? The Real 1100. We will be back on air very, very soon. More than likely coming back in August, the Atlanta Business Journal. We made a whole lot of changes over there, ABJ Digital. We are growing like crazy, and we got a whole lot of brand new stuff coming for you. So stay tuned, stay watching, and once again, go out and support the Black Women of Hospitality, and we are out.